The Kachinas put on their costumes at the Mesa foot as they were supposed to come from the San Francisco peaks. Everyone gathered on the housetops, watching them climb up the mesa. While everyone's attention was so occupied, the old spider woman and the boys tried to mend the crack in the rock with the dough. When it was mended, she gave some medicine to the two boys who chewed it up and spat it out on the crack and blew on the crack. As soon as they had finished, the Kachinas entered the village and marched about the two kivas four times. 110. In this ceremony, you must know, the leading Kachina, though a man, takes the part of a Kachinmana, maiden. In this dance the leader was a notorious wizard who was being paid by the girls of Yukavai to do crooked work. After making the rounds of the kiva, the Kachinas marched to the place on the edge of the cliff where the trees were to be planted. The Kachinmana carried the two little trees. When the mana gave the handsome boy the wrong tree, and the other boy the right tree, he knew the wizard was trying to get him. Both boys laid the trees down on the rock. Someone said something and the leader and everyone looked the other way and the boys exchanged the trees. He knew his tree for it had a feather fastened to one of the leaves. The trees were now planted in the holes that had been prepared. The Kachinas, standing in a row, started to dance and sing. Slowly the trees began to grow. They grew and grew until they reached 25 to 30 feet high. The two Kachinas that were to climb, one of them being the handsome boy, stood by the trees. Finally, the Kachinmana, the wizard, told them to climb. The young man trusted the old spider woman. He chewed the medicine and spat on the tree and climbed slowly. When he reached the top, the tree swayed back and forth. All the people on the housetops thought that the tree would break and he would go over the cliff. He came down and danced and then went up again. When he came down and danced, he climbed the tree the third time, swinging back and forth. The girls from Hukavai were on the housetops with the inhabitants of the village. They wondered why the rock did not give way when he climbed. The fourth time, the leader told the youth to climb faster and swing back and forth harder, and swing good and hard with all his might. But still the tree did not break nor the rock crack. When he had climbed down, the leader told him to go up a fifth time, but someone had counted, so the chief said that was enough as they had gone up the four ceremonial times. Later the two young men who had climbed the trees took the prayer offerings and started back to the San Francisco mountains to place them in the shrine. The rest of the Kachinas entered the kiva with the men of the pueblo and all smoked. Before the men had entered the kiva, the girls from Hukavai hired a wizard to cut the beams in the back part of the kiva. They were mad at the leader of the Kachinas, the Kachinmana, and the boy. They did not know that he was already on his way to the peaks. 111. While the smoking ceremony was on, the kiva roof caved in. Everyone was killed. But one poor old man far back in one corner, who was not a man of high standing, but was a common person who never rushed up in front. This old man dug his way out. The village was in trouble. All the men were killed except the two youths and the old man. Well, of course you know, everyone was sad for many days. The old man knew that everyone was sad, so he thought he would do something. So the old man went off by himself and practiced a dance under the cliff. While he was practicing, a girl found him, and he asked her to join him in the dance. She accepted, so the old man went to work and made a mask so no one would know her. He took some corn, boiled it well, late one afternoon. He fixed up the girl as well as himself in a Kachina costume. The old man told her to hold out all the nerve she could. When they went to the plaza, the people saw them come. All the people started to cry, but soon got all right. Then the old man and the girl danced and gave out presents of corn. That night the handsome youth was outside the pueblo where he went every night. He heard something and lay still. He listened. He heard a sound coming. Closer and closer. It finally came and passed by. It was a ghost dressed in white. He was scared and fainted. After laying insensible for a while, he came to himself. He followed the ghost to the village. When he got to the plaza, the ghost was sitting on the shrine. It was a woman ghost. He went up and asked her why she was there and where she had come from. She said, "I come from the Colorado River. I come because I sympathize with the people of Pivahonkiapai. I have nothing for you, but if you wish to get even with the girls of Yukavai, I would like to help you. I would like to have a prayer plume from everyone in the pueblo, and I ask you to have them made this very night. You must keep it a secret why they are to be made." So the youth went from house to house and every woman made a prayer plume. Peo. The boy collected them and gave them to the ghost and said, "We have done what you asked us to do." The ghost took the prayer offerings and thanked him. She said, "I will do everything that you ask me to do. Now what do you want me to do? I can drive them eastward or I can drive them westward. I can even drive them over the cliff." The boy said, "Drive them westward." Then the ghost went over to Hyukavai and she made a noise as if she were dying. She rolled on the ground and moaned. This scared the people. Some boys said they were not scared and offered to kill the old ghost. 112. The next night the boys lay in wait for her and when she started to moan they got scared and ran away. Everyone got scared. The ghost came back 6 or 7 nights. The people could not sleep for her moaning, so they decided to leave the pueblo. They packed up their belongings and left the village. The ghost drove them westward. They camped for the night by the Dinabido, wash at Bangwu Wi. Mountain Sheep Cliff. The old ghost came again and kept them awake. But they could not move that night on account of the children. The next day they moved to near where the Dinabido store is and camped. The ghost came early and kept them awake till daylight. Again they started on, and on. The third night camped by the Little Colorado River. The ghost came just after sundown because she was near her home and kept them awake till dawn. At daylight they started on again and camped in the Cinder Hills. Still the ghost came after them. The fifth night they camped by Mormon Mountain. The ghost followed them. On and on they went, crossing the Big Colorado into California. They say that their descendants are now the Mission Indians of California. 113. Dr. Fuchs and Masawu, The Birth of a Legend. In the autumn of 1898, the late Dr. Fuchs, archaeologist of the Smithsonian Institution, was staying at Walpi, one of the Hopi Indian pueblos. In the annual report of the director of the Bureau of Ethnology, his visit is noted as follows. In November, Dr. J. Walter Fuchs repaired to Arizona for the purpose of continuing his researches concerning the winter ceremonies of the Hopi Indians. But soon after his arrival, an epidemic of smallpox manifested itself in such severity as to completely demoralize the Indians and to prevent them from carrying out their ceremonial plans, and at the same time placed Dr. Fuchs in grave personal danger. It accordingly became necessary to abandon the work for the season. Note, the Hopis at Walpi have another story of the cause of Dr. Fuchs' departure-editor. One of the most important of the Hopi winter ceremonies is the Wiavuchim, which comes in November. At a certain time during the ceremony the one horned and the two horned societies hold a secret rite in a certain part of the pueblo, and all the people who live on that plaza go away and close their houses. No one may witness the ceremony, for Masawu, the earth god, is therewith. The one-horned priests who do his bidding in the underworld and the spirits of the dead are there, and it is said that anyone who sees them will be frozen with fright or paralyzed or become like the dead. Masawu owns all the Hopi world, the surface of the earth and the underworld. Beneath the earth, he is a mighty and terrible being, for he wears upon his head a bald and bloody mask. He is like death, and he clothes himself in the raw hides of animals, and men cannot bear to look upon his face. The Hopi say he is really a very handsome great man of a dark color with fine long black hair, and that he is indeed a great giant. When the Hopi came up from the underworld and looked about them in fear, the first sign which they saw of any being of human form was the great footprints of Masawu. Now Masawu only walks at night, and he carries a flaming torch. Fire is his, and he owns the fiery pits. Every night, Masawu takes his torch and he starts out on his rounds, for he walks clear around the edge of the world every night. Dr. Fuchs had been in the kiva all day taking notes on what he saw going on there. Finally, the men told him that he must go away and stay in his house, for Masawu was coming, and that part of the ceremony was very sacred and no outside person was ever allowed to see what was going on. They told him to go into his house and lock the door, and not to try to see anything no matter what happened, or he would be dragged out and he would freeze to death. So he went away into his house and he locked the door just as he had been told to do. And he sat down and began to write up his notes.